Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today's Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. With me today, Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm making it through. Thanks for having me.
You, sir, are a trooper. Yeah. And if people are wondering why, I believe you talked about it on Mac Geek Gab, right?
Yeah. I wound up hurting my back last week, and this weekend was a tough, it was actually tough to do anything that involved my core muscles, which included speaking, which meant testing the new HomePod was interesting. So
yes, indeed. So if you're interested in hearing more about Dave's issues that led up to the pain he's been dealing with, don't worry, there'll be a link to that episode of Mac Geek Gab in the show notes. And John Martellaro, how are you?
Greetings, I'm good.
And
I like the greetings. That's good, John.
You did. Greetings was really nice. And this is awesome because we're talking about HomePod. And I just realized my HomePod is making a sound. Hey, Siri, stop.
I heard that.
Wait, was that an alarm that you had set?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was doing some alarm testing, and I forgot that I set one. And but apparently, the HomePod didn't forget.
No, that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I do want to talk about HomePod, and apparently mine gave us a great segue into that. And Dave, you gave us a great setup for what I want to talk about. You spent the weekend just really diving in to what you could do with the audio, and you wrote a great piece yesterday about your experiences, and I'd like to explore that some, if you don't
mind. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So just to make sure I've got this straight, you have a Sonos One setup. So it's the dual speaker Sonos One setup.
Well, yes, is that right? It's true. I have two Sonos Ones, and I should preface, we should preface any of this by just letting people know that I've had Sonos in my house for 7 years. Like the problem that HomePod solves, you know, great sounding music out loud in your home, easily controllable, great sounding music out loud in your home, is a problem that is solved for me. Right. And I have 13 Sonos rooms. So it's just worth getting that out there so that everyone understands when I'm evaluating HomePod, it's with the thought of there's probably nothing that HomePod could do today that would convince me to, you know, abandon this investment I have in all this Siri, in all this Sonos stuff. But, you know, with that in mind, I'm actually very bullish on the HomePod in its own way. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah. And what other devices did you have when you were doing your tests?
Yeah, so I tested it against the Sonos One, which has Alexa in it, it has a lady in it. And then I tested it against the JBL Link series of speakers. They have I have the 300 and the 500 from them, which are both voice controllable with Google Assistant. So and sound decent. I mean, the sound of actually either one of them is sort of in the range of, it sounds good out loud, and it's way better than, you know, the crappy speakers you might have had, which is sort of the metric, because frankly, that's the most important part of HomePod to me, is that it sounds good out loud, and people, you know, it gives people this other option of doing that with their music easily. And that is huge.
Yes. And for me, this is, on one hand, I have to say this is my first smart speaker or intelligent speaker system. But on the other hand, I have a second generation Echo that I bought last fall, and in my living room, it actually is good enough. So that's where I was starting from with my comparisons. So a markedly lower audio quality I believe, than you would have with your Sonos One, but still giving me a taste of what I could expect. And
yeah.
And overall, I've been pretty impressed with the sound that I'm getting out of HomePod.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, I wrote the piece that I wrote yesterday because a lot of people were asking for me to write it. And I knew that, I mean, it, you know, yeah, okay, great, makes sense. But every section of it, I prefaced with the fact that it's like, you know, the thing that matters to you is probably the fact that I think HomePod sounds pretty good. Like, if you want me to get geeky and compare things, I will, but it sounds pretty good. And it, in fact, it sounds better than pretty good. It sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
That said, going a little deeper, you know, I immediately felt like HomePod had too much low end in its sound signature. It's certainly something that could be changed. Right now, it's only changeable by Apple. Perhaps they'll give us some even rudimentary tone controls, I think would completely solve that problem. But, you know, it sounds like it has something to prove, which perhaps it does. I get the feeling that Apple wanted to show that this speaker is capable of delivering, you know, a substantial amount of low end, especially for its size. And it is. And so much so that I want less. And that's, you know, a solvable problem. So that's good.
You know, I'm with you on that. That was one of the first things I noticed, was that it did feel a little too heavy on the low end. Not always, though, which I found to be interesting.
Right. Its self-tuning thing seemed to change that. It also, for me, seemed like the surface that it was on tended to impact it more than I found with the other speakers that I was testing.
Yes, I noticed that too.
Yeah. So if it was on a thin surface as opposed to like a sturdy table or something, but if it was on a thinner surface, I got more low end out of the HomePod than I did out of other speakers on that same surface. So that could just be related to the mechanics of it, but still drives the point home that having tone controls is, I think, very important. It was my same complaint with the JBL Link series speakers. They don't have tone controls either. It's like, how do you know what I want to hear? This is such a subjective thing. There are, as much as there are, you know, the two of us here that say we want less bass, I could easily see someone saying, no, I want more. And that's like, mm-hmm. there's nothing invalid about any of those preferences.
You know,
listening to music is a subjective thing, and it should be.
Now, I put out a tweet, I think it was on Saturday, where I said it would be really great if I were able to say, "Yo, S lady, turn down the bass."
And turns out you can say that.
Yeah, you can say that, and she gives you,
and she understands you. Which is the interesting part.
Right. And says she can't do that on HomePod.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it means there is a setting for that. Because there's plenty of things, as I'm sure many of you have already heard and read, that you can say to Siri and she says, "I don't even know what you're saying." Like, the response about turning down the bass is a very detailed response in the lexicon of Siri on HomePod.
And certainly not the response I was expecting.
Same.
I was expecting her to surprise me and say, "Okay," and the bass, that low end is a little bit less pronounced, or to come back and say, "I can't do that."
Right.
And that was it. Yeah. So I'm curious about the issues you had with speaker placement.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, HomePod has a series of microphones that are kind of run around the middle of it that are used to sample the way its sound sounds back to itself in any given room. And using that, it can adjust itself for the room. And it will take a couple of minutes, you know, figure one full song for HomePod to decide, okay, I'm finished and stop tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
what's interesting is I set it up on my kitchen counter and I put a, I had a salt shaker on the counter, and it turns out that salt shaker kept convincing HomePod that it was a wall, not just a short little salt shaker. And HomePod kept sending the sound away from the direction I wanted it to go. I set it up with the cord away from me, sat down, and it sounded like, you know, I was in a weird like echo chamber behind a speaker, because that's what it had decided to do. Right. It decided to focus its sound, you know, away from me. Most of its sound. It still had some coming back, because I think it does use reflection to its benefit. And I put my head to test this. I kind of looked down the top of it, like you might look in a cup of tea or something. Mm-hmm. And I could hear that, you know, the sound was coming out this one side. So I was like, all right, sweet, no problem. And I took the HomePod and I spun it around, because if the sound's going to come out the side with the cord, no big deal. I just want to hear it. And sure enough, you know, what happens with HomePod is it's got an accelerometer in it. So it knew that I spun it around. It resampled and very quickly sent the sound away from me again.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that I realized, oh, the salt shaker is the issue. So I moved the salt shaker. I shook the HomePod again just to trigger the accelerometer. And then it got it right. I think it does.
I can just imagine a mental image. Ah,
yeah, exactly. Ah! Yeah.
Shake.
With the way my back was hurting, I there was no more effort exerted than necessary. It was just a little rock. But I think HomePod defaults to assuming its front is the side that doesn't have the cord, unless there's something to convince it otherwise. Because once I moved that salt shaker, there was nothing around the HomePod to reflect it, reflect back to it at that point. And it sent the sound out of what, you know, I would have assumed is the front, the side opposite the cord.
That's been my experience too. Now I had an interesting experience as I've been experimenting with placement throughout my living room, just to see what happens with the sound.
Yeah.
When I put the HomePod on the entertainment center, so it's sitting on the corner, and there are no sides to this thing. So it's not like there's a wall for it to reflect off of directly in this entertainment
center. I gotcha. Sure.
Right next to the HomePod was the soundbar for my television. And it's a pretty short soundbar. It's just a short little JBL soundbar that's nice for an apartment size room. And I figured, you know, where the microphones are in this thing, they're high enough, that thing's low enough, I don't think it'll matter. And after a while, I realized it just kind of sounded like there's a dead spot in the room when I was sitting in front of the television. And this was to the right of the television.
Mm.
And so what I did yesterday was I put a stack of books under the HomePod. So I lifted it up above the sound bar. And of course gave the HomePod a nice little rock so that the accelerometer kicked in.
And it probably would have kicked in just from you moving, putting the books under it, but sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, better safe than sorry.
Absolutely.
And within a couple minutes, the whole room was filled with sound.
And I can believe that.
And yeah. I had a much better simulation of stereo separation too.
It does a decent job of stereo separation for, you know, a device that obviously is, you know, one localized sound source. That speaker array that kind of sends things in multiple directions, it does a good job. It's not, I mean, I found that if I got more than about 10 feet away from it, that there was no more stereo separation. But there was still this sense of sound not only emanating from this one source. I mean, it's obviously mainly emanating from that source, but it definitely employs reflection to its benefit in terms of the sound quality. And I like that about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious though, were you experiencing too much low end, too much bass, when it was sitting in front of your soundbar, and did raising it up on those, you know, hard books change that at all?
Yes, it did. It had a marked, a very noticeable change. And I don't feel like the HomePod is low-end heavy in the significant way it was before. I mean, every now and then I'll still get a song where I'm like, I'm pretty sure this isn't what the artists intended the bass to sound like.
Right.
But
right.
For the most part, it doesn't have that overpowering feeling. And
it doesn't suppress. That kind of fits with my theory that you know, it whatever the way that subwoofer, I don't want to say subwoofer, the way that woofer in the HomePod is engineered, it's definitely relying on or affected by, I don't want to say relying on, affected by the surface upon which it sits more so than other speakers. So
yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that after my experience.
Yeah.
So, John, you've been uncharacteristically quiet. Do you have any thoughts on what Dave and I have been experiencing with our HomePods?
Well, as everyone knows, I've kind of held back. I thought I would kind of watch and listen. I didn't want to rush in right now. Money was a little tight anyway. And I've been learning a lot about the device and kind of sizing up the value of it. I think I'll probably get one eventually, but it'll be after. See, I'm kind of one of these researchy guys. You should see me buy TV equipment. I read articles and reviews. I study for years before I buy equipment.
You know, I can verify that's exactly what John does, because we get to talk about it through the months and years of research that he does before he buys something.
Yeah. So I'm kind of one of those researchy guys, and I think I'm coming to appreciate the value of the device. That I didn't see before, because I didn't think it solved a problem that I had. But by and by, I think I'll be getting one and enjoying it. What I'll probably be doing is doing AirPlay to it from my Music Mac.
Oh, sure.
Using it that way. Yeah.
Yep. And I know a lot of people are streaming from their Macs without any problem, which is great. And that doesn't surprise me, because it's streaming over Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one thing, excuse me, that I've been experimenting with, and Dave, I'm curious if you've had any experience with this yet, and John, I'm betting you're very interested in where this conversation can go. Dave, have you been trying your HomePod as the primary speaker for your Apple TV?
I did try that. Yeah. And I was, I was impressed by the fact that it's fairly simple to do. You just go into the settings and choose it as an AirPlay destination and you're done. And it synced up like perfectly with the images on the screen. So there was no lag between when you saw someone say something and when it came out. It was all very natural. Mm-hmm. And it sounded pretty good. It was too quiet, though, to really use effectively there. In general, I find the HomePod's top end is quieter than I would expect and that I get from other speakers that size. And I mean, you can hear music out of it, but you're going to be running this thing close to full tilt, I would think, in anything other than a small room. But so it was a little too quiet with the Apple TV. And I had a weird issue with it where it would cut out after a few minutes of playback on certain things, like playing back Plex. It was cutting out all the time. And I have yet to call Apple support about this, but I plan to. I really want to see how Apple support deals with something that I know is not their fault and yet impacts their product. Because that's something, when you're in the wireless speaker business and your speakers rely on Wi-Fi, you kind of have to support everybody's Wi-Fi network, because that chances are that's where the problem is. It's not going to be in HomePod itself. So if Apple tries to punt that, that'll be a sign that maybe they're not long for this business.
I'm very interested in seeing how that plays out.
Me too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's on the list for this week.
All right. So my experience with HomePod as the speaker for Apple TV, it was a mixed bag. First, I liked that it worked, and I didn't have any apparent latency. And I overall, I thought it sounded nice, but it's not something, at least as it stands today, that I want to use as the primary sound output for my Apple TV. I felt like that mid-range, that center channel stuff that you need, the dialogue, that was difficult at times. And yeah, and I had to run the HomePod at nearly full volume to have the dialogue at a level where I could generally hear it clearly. And this is something that I pay close attention to. And I had my best person ever for helping me test dialogue come over. And that's my girlfriend. She can't hear out of one ear. So that makes it even more important that you have good, clear dialogue. Otherwise, you just have to crank the volume up to an insane level or turn on the subtitles.
Right.
And what we found was it sounded nice, but she had to concentrate more than she should have for the dialogue. But there were occasionally shows that I would test where it was just fine. So
yeah, I mean, we have to understand that, you know, this is not a specified use case for HomePod. Right. So, it's not meant to be this. It's certainly the wrong form factor to be a TV speaker for video and movies. It doesn't have a dedicated, you know, center channel in that way. Again, I feel like software tweaks could make it better for this, if only just to, you know, bring up the center channel stuff. I mean, remember, our Apple TVs know if the audio has a 5.1 source, meaning five channels of audio plus one subwoofer, as opposed to, say, 2.0, which is just regular stereo. If it has the 5.1, one of those five is the center channel. There's no reason the Apple TV couldn't talk, you know, a secret language to the HomePod and say, hey, here's not just left and right. You know, here's three channels, right? Left, right, and center. And then HomePod could take that and, you know, focus the center on the center and maybe even bring that level up a little bit, you know, whatever, right? I mean, all of this is possible. I don't think it's happening yet. But again, software will change our HomePods for the better, presumably, but it will change them. And I'm presuming for the better. Very quickly, I expect to see kind of monthly revisions as HomePod goes through its initial, you know, 6 to 12 month evolution. I really think that there's going to be a lot of things changing, some more remarkable than others. But it's going to get better. And I think it's going to happen very, very quickly, much faster than we're used to with like an Apple Watch or an iPad. Yeah,
just going to mention the Apple Watch. We made great strides with the Apple Watch over the first version. Watch OS 1 was kind of not too great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But this is normal for Apple, right? I mean, it's not just the Apple Watch. Everything with Apple is get, you know, minimum viable product out into the market and make it reliable. Like, that's the thing.
And then new features.
And then add new features as it comes, and that's certainly the case with HomePod, and it's not a surprise. We saw everyone else do it, and I do want to. I know it's time to wrap up, but I kind of want to circle back to where we started on this, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Rewinding myself back 7 years, you know, we had Music Out Loud with CDs for a while, and then when we digitized our whole catalog, we really stopped listening to music out loud. You know, it was this promise of, oh, it's way better to have it all on your computer. You can access everything at once, but there was no easy way to get that sound out loud. And so we didn't, you know, we really stopped listening to music out loud. And then, like I said, 7 years ago, I got my first Sonos gear and understood what Sonos was. And it really took me a while, like years, to finally grok what this Sonos thing was. Mm-hmm. And within days, our lives were miraculously changed. You know, the ability to easily access our digital music libraries and then, of course, streaming music libraries in our homes out loud made a huge difference for us. And that's the part that excites me the most about HomePod, is for everyone that still hasn't done this, there's a sizable segment of the not yets for which HomePod is right now. And yes. And this is going to make your life so much better. And again, it doesn't have to be HomePod. It can be, any of these options we've discussed. Just the fact that HomePod is causing this to happen for folks is stellar. And it really excites me.
I know we're almost out of time. Can I get in the final word in here?
Of course.
One of the things I've been talking about in my writing is that we have to understand the HomePod in the grounds in which it was designed. And I'm seeing reviews where people are saying, well, it doesn't fit into your home theater system. It doesn't do this and doesn't do that. And Siri isn't so great. But I think you have to look at the product as it was designed, at the target audience, and let the customers speak for themselves. For those people, as Dave just said, who understand how it works and it meets their needs, it's perfect. If you understand what its target audience is and how it operates and why it was designed the way it was, and look at it on the and with that perspective, and that's an interesting twist of perspective.
Yes, and that holds true for any product. If you buy it expecting it to be something that it isn't, you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yep.
Yeah. And yes, we are so out of time. Dave, thank you for, even while being injured, taking so much time to do all the tests that you did. And thanks for coming on today to talk about your experiences.
Yeah, my pleasure. Fun stuff. I'm really excited about this.
And John, thank you for being here as well. And as always, bringing your great perspective.
What's the inverse of greetings? Salutations?
Sayonara.
Oh, sayonara, auf Wiedersehen.
I'll go with that. And listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. We will see everyone again tomorrow.